Adam Pearce versus Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble. Storyline makes sense. Remember what we talked about last week? That Roman Reigns should want to knock the block off of Adam Pearce. But is Roman Reigns' title reign been that phenomenal? And you just take a step back for a minute. You know, for me, great title reigns are when not only are the matches good, but when you really can't predict a winner. Other than Kevin Owens, which we knew had no shot of winning the title, he's had Jey Uso and now Adam Pearce. Not sure how I feel about that, to be honest with you. I mean, don't get me wrong. Roman Reigns has been doing his job excellent. I don't think he could do any better. But you look at that roster on SmackDown, and he has feuded pretty much with Jey Uso, Roman Reigns, and Kevin Owens, and now Roman Reigns and then Adam Pearce. No disrespect to Adam Pearce whatsoever. It's just, yeah, we want to get through the Royal Rumble and then maybe have the Acme Insta feud of maybe Big E versus Roman Reigns, maybe someone else. I don't know. But man, when you get this feeling that WWE is just trying to get through pay-per-views, you know, to set up a feud later on, that's lazy. You remember when they tried to make us think that Tamina had a shot? They tried to make us think that someone else had a shot, and you had this storyline brewing for 2, 3, 4 weeks, and you realize they just threw anybody out there to just buy time. And Adam Pearce was a phenomenal wrestler. Anyone out there that starts ripping on Adam Pearce doesn't know much about Adam Pearce's career. Yes, he's never been a tremendous megastar in the pro wrestling world, but that son of a bitch has had some kick-ass matches, and he's only 42 years old. So Adam Pearce can still go, but the storyline is that he is pretty much management. And I'll tell you, I was not all that thrilled tonight with the way they handled Adam Pearce with Roman Reigns. Because if you follow Adam Pearce on television all this time, he's authority. You've had people, didn't he suspend people? And didn't he do something once with Randy Orton? Wasn't there something in the back? Oh, and speaking of that, after this big, long feud between Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre, we're getting that match again on Monday. I know a lot of you out there were as confused as I was this past Monday. I know Mish was confused as well when Goldberg came out there and started spewing about Drew McIntyre and not respecting, you know, the people who paved the way. What planet? Remember what I said Monday? That Goldberg cut the promo, and that promo was intended for Roman Reigns, but at the last minute, WWE said, no, you know, we'll have Goldberg go with Drew McIntyre instead. Because trust me when I tell you, you look at all of the past 3, 4, 5 months leading up to a week ago, all of the tease of Goldberg returning to the ring was Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns would take shots at Goldberg. Goldberg in interviews would take shots at Roman Reigns. When Goldberg appeared at Thunderdome a couple of months ago, the tease was against Roman Reigns. Don't tell me that for the last couple of months, they had it all along, you know? We're going to have Roman Reigns go against Adam Pearce, and we're going to have Goldberg go up against Drew McIntyre. Isn't that kind of ass backwards? I don't know. But what's up, everybody? It is Friday night. January 8th, 2021. I am back once again. 7 podcasts in 7 days. And I got to thank each and every one of you out there who enjoyed Thursday night's show, especially those who were live with me, because for everyone out there that enjoyed the show on the replay, you could thank everybody who tuned in live because they were the ones that directed the conversations yesterday. Not only was it awesome, not only was the vibes great, but there was so much discussion and so much energy and so much activity that the show, just like that, 3.5 hours gone by. But, you know, when you think about it, how long we went last Thursday, almost 3 hours. Last Friday, almost 3 hours. Monday, 1 hour and 40 minutes. Wednesday, 2 hours. Yesterday, almost 3 or 3.5. So tonight, yours truly is going to be packing it in early. And like I said yesterday, if it gets like 11:30 and I'm still not talking, I will do, I got to make sure I close out the music because that keeps screwing me up. But if that happens, I'll be like, yeah, and so Monday and we have this and I'll just force to fade myself to black. So, but anyway, I want to thank everybody who is joining me live tonight. I will get into SmackDown in detail in a few moments. We'll talk about the quarter hour ratings with AEW and NXT and a couple of things I definitely want to discuss over there. A couple other news tidbits, nothing major. I mean, been up here pretty much every day, so we're pretty much caught up as far as all the news goes. SoFly Beamore, yes, you know, rest in peace, Tommy Lasorda. I mean, my God, you know, me being a baseball fan, you know, as a young kid in the 70s and being a Yankee fan early on until they let go of Reggie, Tommy Lasorda, the Dodgers and the Yankees were the huge rivalry. And I tell you, Lasorda pissed me off in 88 when they defeated the Mets in the playoffs. If I remember correctly, I think the 88 season, the Mets were like 13-1 against the Dodgers during the year, or 11-1, and they choked. And I'll never forget when David Cohn wrote that news article in the Daily News talking about the Dodgers, and it just lit a fuse. And my God, you know, the Dodgers went to the World Series. They faced the Oakland A's and the Kirk Gibson home run. I mean, come on. You know, you all know that story. If you're a baseball fan, you know that legend. And I will never forget, as much as my baseball fandomhood as a younger person, didn't like Tommy Lasorda all that much. In the latter years, you couldn't help but love him. I mean, I remember when he did the Slim Fast commercials. I remember when he would always talk about eating pasta. He was an Italiano, just like yours truly. And, you know, I'll just never forget when Kirk Gibson hit that home run off of Eckersley. And you see Lasorda, you know, like just running out of the dugout. Like he can't, you know, like the announcer said, I can't believe what I just saw. So, you know, look, let's be honest, you know, I talked about it yesterday. The average life span in the United States for men is like 75.1 years old. Tommy Lasorda, for people that not only knew who he was, but go back years, that man wasn't in the greatest of health. That man loved his carbs, loved his bread, loved his pasta, loved his Italian food. So the fact that he was able to live that long in life, God bless him. God bless him. You know, you don't ever want to say goodbye to someone, but, you know, at some point we all go. That's just the bottom line. And Tommy Lasorda was, you know, he was not going to manage again. He wasn't going to come out and start doing stuff. So we always had the memories to hang on to. But for now, we have a little reflection to just think about, you know, all of the years that he was manager of the Dodgers, worked in the Dodgers organization from Brooklyn to L.A. So God bless him, man. God bless him. James Edward, yes, Adam Pearce will be taking on Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble. This is just, like I said, just to get through the Royal Rumble. For regular WWE fans, I don't think, let's be honest, I don't think many people give two shits about Adam Pearce. Is he going to get the sympathy, you know, pop from fans? I don't know. I mean, look, I remember Adam Pearce from many years ago. And again, he's only 42 years old. So he can still do it. If you want to check out some of his work, there's tons of stuff on YouTube. The last match I think I recall seeing him work was about 2014 or 2015. And he can go. He can go. The thing is, and this is what everybody has to remember, because you know this is going to happen. You know people out there who are fans of Ring of Honor, people out there who were fans of NWA, you know, back years ago, years back, that remember Scrap Daddy, Adam Pearce. Those fans are going to think that we're going to see Adam Pearce, Ring of Honor Adam Pearce, you know, NWA Adam Pearce. And do I think he could still do it? Yeah, why wouldn't I think otherwise? The problem is, this is a WWE storyline. And the WWE storyline is like, when Paul Heyman and Kevin Owens talk to him, you know that he has some type of a wrestling history. Like Paul Heyman said tonight, could you imagine if Paulie dangerously managed Adam Pearce? Maybe. But the thing is that WWE is not going to focus on the fact that Adam Pearce used to kick ass. So this is going to come across more of an authority figure reluctantly getting in the ring and getting his ass handed to him by Roman Reigns. And then somebody is going to come to the aid of Adam Pearce and, you know, why don't you pick on me? Why don't you fight somebody that could, like me? You know, will that Big E say that fast 10 times? I have no idea. But again, I have nothing against Adam Pearce. But I think regular wrestling fans, casual wrestling fans, SmackDown wrestling fans, young wrestling fans, I think a lot of them look at Adam Pearce still, and to take a quote about QT Marshall, who dat? It was like, you remember TV shows in the past that suddenly there's a new family member that, you know, you're like, where did this person come from? Remember Oliver from the Brady Bunch? And by the way, I haven't seen the Brady Bunch since I was a teenager, so I'm not a fan of it anymore. But you remember even Family Ties, that, what was it, Bruce Bunnell, whatever that little kid is, the Buster Brown haircut. You had TV series where suddenly, like, somebody pops up, like a kid from nowhere, and like, where did this come from? That's what Adam Pearce always came across to me. He showed up a couple of years ago, you know, just no pomp, no circumstance, like, where did you come from? And they never really developed that, you know, and they started using Adam Pearce big time in 2020. And even now, I think some people are like, who is this? Like, who are you? Like, what is actually your role? And the worst part about it is what you and I have complained about in recent months. Take the TLC pay-per-view, for example. And how many times have we brought that up already? Miz has his Money in the Bank briefcase cashed in. Yes, Morrison is the one that cashed it in. But, you know, I mean, unless we're supposed to be like visually impaired, when Morrison was cashing in the briefcase, Miz wasn't facing the other way, you know, like he couldn't hear anything. I mean, if I recall, didn't the announcer say, Miz cashed in his money? And Miz didn't turn around and say, what the fuck are you doing, Morrison? What are you doing? The whole storyline is shit. And then you have Adam Pearce, who says, well, you shouldn't have been in the match. I give you the briefcase. And again, this is just storyline. This is not really Adam Pearce. This is WWE writing. But he gives him the briefcase back, which makes no sense whatsoever. And then you think about it, and you're like, number one, where was Adam Pearce during the TLC match? Was he taking a shit? What was he doing? And then where is AJ Styles demanding a rematch in storyline because, you know, Miz shouldn't have been in the match. The match was illegitimate. It was fraud. Adam Pearce's character on TV has sucked for the most part. Plus, when you have this guy throwing his authority around, which is what you're supposed to do. How many times did Adam Pearce get in somebody's face last year on TV in storyline, and he's reminding them that he's authority? He could suspend, he could do this, he could do that. Today, Adam Pearce was entering the ring, an authority figure, entering the ring cautiously, almost like a pet. You have a dog that goes in your garbage and tears your garbage apart. There's garbage everywhere. You come home, you walk into your kitchen, and there's garbage all over the floor, and your dog is in the other room. And you yell at your dog, "Come over here, come here, come here." And what happens? And there's videos all over Twitter, you've seen it. Like, the dog's head will enter the room like, that's what Adam Pearce was doing today. Jesus. I mean, what are you writing this for, 10 fucking year olds? And I didn't want to curse tonight, but the more I think about it, the more I get mad, the more I'm getting gas right now. Seriously. So yeah, to answer your question, Adam Pearce is taking on Roman Reigns. Ariane, what's up, Ariane? Could Daniel Bryan win the Royal Rumble? No, anything is possible, my friend. Anything is possible. Thing is, it feels like many missed opportunities for Daniel Bryan. We thought that he was going to have some type of program with Sami Zayn. Didn't happen. We thought he was having a program with Roman Reigns about, what, 2 months ago when he had the back and forth with Jey Uso? Make him pay. Remember? Make him pay. Make him pay. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing with Daniel Bryan. Then you see these cryptic tweets. I don't know if you've seen them with Daniel Bryan about his personal life, which I think might be a little bit, you know, being tested right now, which honestly, you know, he's human. And that happens to a lot of people, especially with what's going on with COVID and the state of the world. And my God, everything that has transpired the last couple of days, man. And for everyone out there that has been asking me for my thoughts on what's happened the last couple of days, tune into last night's show. The last 30 to 40 minutes of the show, pretty much, I got into it. Some people might be very surprised what I said yesterday. Meant every word of it, came from here. I don't say certain things based on how many likes I get or if I'm afraid of getting ripped by social media. You know, you see all these people treading so carefully. They don't say a fucking word for 6 months. But since the right thing to do right now is to say A, B, C, and D, they'll write A, B, C, and D. And that's because it's comfortable. You know, when you speak how you feel, you know, when it's an uncomfortable time to do it, you know, that's the challenge. Roger Rubio, Craig, record! Craig, record! I can't wait till Craig goes in hiding. Seriously, Craig, record! Craig, stop! Oh, man. I hate fucking programs like that. You know why I hate programs like that, seriously? Because you get too comfortable. And when you have something of just like, it's like my Amazons, the Alexas. Seriously, I'm not kidding, man. The Amazon Echoes and the Alexas. I don't have one in this room because I put one in this room last year and like I would talk about Alexa Bliss and in the background you hear bing. Yeah, so Alexa Bliss, bing. Lexi, I need to win, Lexi. Alexa, bing. And it just got so annoying. But you see what my problem was? I'm not kidding. And this is about the Craig stuff and this is advice for anyone out there. You know, I have Amazon Echoes all throughout the house. I have Harmony remote. I don't know if you know what Harmony is. Not eHarmony, the dating app, but Harmony. And you could program your Alexa. Alexa, turn off the lights. Alexa, turn on the TV. Alexa, tell Harmony to change the channel to Fox. And I had all of that programmed. And then what happened? I changed my internet sign-in. And then every time I go in the other room, Echo, what time is it? Sorry, you're not connected to the... I had to reset every single one, and I was so lazy that I just kept seeing that yellow light going around, and I realized none of my shit works. None of my shit works unless I go through all that again. So that's what happens. You get too comfortable, and then when something goes wrong, you don't know what to do. And that's going to happen with that stuff. Never sleeps. Why does everybody like the Nikki Cross thing so much? I think it sounds so dumb. And I probably, no joke, in DMs and emails, I get more feedback about the Nikki Cross impersonation than anything else. And people like, you got to have her sign a mug and crack it. Seriously. If Nikki Cross ever goes back on Cameo, I'll drop her an extra 50 to give me a shout out, drink a sip of coffee, and then break it on the floor. Or I'll even pay double if she could have somebody enter the room and break it on the floor. But Michael Gonzalez says I'm great on impressions. I don't know. Maybe. You know, sometimes when I don't think of them, they come out good. Sometimes I overthink them and they come out horrible. Seriously. James Edward is asking, would Adam Pearce do the Kurt Angle thing when he was GM, come back and wrestle on a special match? See, here's the difference, James. Kurt Angle, when he became GM, or even when Foley became GM, or someone else, you know, they had a big career in WWE, beloved by fans, considered Hall of Fame by fans. And you had such an emotional attachment to those wrestlers. So if Kurt Angle were to come back, emotional attachment. You had Mick Foley come back, emotional attachment. Anybody that has a long WWE career and then in storyline is forced into the ring, you have that history and that attachment to that person. With Adam Pearce, you don't have that in WWE. And I'm telling you, you're going to see Adam Pearce, like the dog who ripped up all the garbage earlier today, and Roman Reigns is going to just tell him, relax, relax, it's all right. Adam, come on, relax, blah, blah, blah. And the funny thing about it is, does Kevin Owens show up? I have no idea. Does Kevin Owens turn on Adam Pearce? And do we get Kevin Owens and Adam Pearce? You know, and do we see flashbacks from, you know, 15 years ago? I have no idea. The problem is, to the casual WWE fan, and again, I respect Adam Pearce's wrestling career. The guy is pretty damn good. Not everybody could be Bright Lights Big City main event. You know, if people out there don't know his career, you know, either try to educate yourself a little bit and understand, you know, his resume, or don't take the cheap way out and just take one, shots at him. So I say this with all due respect. I think the casual WWE fan could give a flying fuck about Adam Pearce. Seriously. I think a lot of people out there could care less about it. You know what I wanted to do? Seriously. You look at Cesaro, and Papo just brought up Cesaro. You look at Cesaro, and Cesaro wears a suit. Cesaro and Adam Pearce kind of have a similar look. You see what they've been doing lately on the net? They'll take like a bad gimmick and a good gimmick, and they'll put $600 stimulus, $2,000 stimulus. I wanted to take a picture tonight. I didn't have enough time of Adam Pearce wearing this gray suit and put $600 stimulus, and then take Cesaro wearing a similar gray suit and put $2,000 stimulus. I think back to back, that pretty much sums up how fans think of Adam Pearce. But I tell you, Papo, I would not have minded Cesaro versus Roman Reigns at the pay-per-view. In fact, after tonight, I would not have minded to see Nakamura against Roman Reigns at the pay-per-view. Nakamura, and it's weird because last week, January 1st, that's why I like doing timestamps now. You go back to last week, there's two timestamps. Check it out for yourself. One of the timestamps last week was me saying that WWE needs to have loud chants towards Roman Reigns and having the fans interrupt Roman Reigns, similar to when Roman Reigns tried to cut a promo after he beat The Undertaker. You remember that? And then every time he was about to speak, the fans would get louder. Do you know when they opened up SmackDown tonight, they were this close of doing that for the first time ever? Since COVID, I would have been, oh my God, that would have been freaking sweet. Because we just said that last week, but they fell just a little short. But what was the other thing that we talked about last week? That why is WWE using Nakamura the way they are? The guy, remember last week we said that, you know, if your job said to you, like, and I tried to impersonate Nakamura, which some people got offended, like, me go to work, me do 2 minutes, me take out Cesaro, me make full pay, me very happy. We just said that last week. We want to see full-blown Nakamura. The man could still go. And tonight we got it. I thought his work with Daniel Bryan was great. Motherfucker beat Baron Corbin. You know, can't ask for anything more than that. So I would not have minded even. And look, Cesaro and Nakamura tag partners. Seriously, you could add Cesaro at the Royal Rumble. You know, 1, 2, 3, go. You know, what was it? Would they do that when they go, you know, what is that called when we were done? By the way, I have the buffering set up on ultra low, which means there's only like a 2-3 second delay at the most. I don't like this 10 second delay stuff. I ask a question and I got to literally kind of ad lib for 10 seconds to wait for an answer. But for those live right now, what do they call that? You know, when we were young, like, okay, you know, like which team is going to bat first? Okay, you go 1, 2, 3, and you do like 3 rock. Okay, rock, paper, scissors. Thank you, Darren. Rock, paper, scissors. Rock, paper, scissors. You could have Nakamura and Cesaro do that. Not really, but I would not have minded Cesaro or Nakamura. And honestly, I'd rather see Nakamura get a random. That's what gauntlet matches are for. Gauntlet matches are supposed to be like an Acme Insta feud, you know? And to throw Adam Pearce in there, like, you think of the storyline. Paul Heyman, you know, like, pulled a couple of strings. Who did he pull a couple of strings to? Red Eye? Red Eye McMahon? Seriously, if you actually think about that storyline a little bit, like, who did he pull strings to? Now, remember last week, Roman Reigns whispered in Paul Heyman's ear. Find out who authorized that match. It was Adam Pearce. Now, if you want to be smart in storyline, Adam Pearce should now whisper in Sonya Deville's ear and go, who put me in the match? It was Vince. Doesn't it make sense? Adam Pearce should do the very same thing that Roman Reigns did last week. And notice how I threw Sonya Deville in there. Sonya Deville now appears to be the SmackDown GM. Where's my timestamp? I'm keeping little timestamps over here so I could type a little bit quicker later. So I don't have to stay up until like 4 o'clock in the morning taking notes. There we go. All right, cool. And if you notice, I'm looking here now. I used to always have you all chatting over here. And when I look back at the video, I think it looked kind of like Chris Van Vliet-ish. You know when Chris Van Vliet does those interviews and he always looks like he's looking at somebody's crotch? He's like, so Eric Redbeard, what did you think of Ida? Oh, so Booker T, what did you think of this and that? Oh, so Matt Hardy, what did you like to do this? Like, he's always looking down at their nuts. Not really, but I'm looking this way. I'm like, I kind of look like I'm in space. So now I have the chat more focused. But Sonya Deville appears to be the new SmackDown GM. I like it. Let's also be honest. We just had this conversation last week. Sonya Deville, outside of Mandy, she had no storyline whatsoever. If you remember, other than her feud with Mandy Rose, and Otis was mixed in a little bit, and Dolph Ziggler as well. Without Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville has had next to nothing on the main roster. Hell, when she came back today, and I'm just talking storyline right now, and she's having a conversation with Adam Pearce, we had to be reminded about how she was screwed by her best friend and everything else. Like, you think you return and WWE would say, look, you know, since that storyline is gone and it's over with, you know, let's not bring it up again. First words out of her mouth. Can't let it go. And Sonya Deville, with all respect intended, this is WWE's fault. Without Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville had next to nothing. Her awesome promos that she cut. You remember that time that we said, my God, Sonya Deville is just amazing right now. That was last year. That wasn't 2-3 years ago. That was 2020. And unfortunately, this fuck, you know, showed up at her house, and we know the deal and everything. And God bless her for overcoming that and battling. You know, just I could only imagine the psychological impact that does more than anything else. But I think it's very smart to put her in that authority figure role right now, because what that shows you right away, the appearance is power. Sonya Deville is in a position of power now. Sonya Deville can now set up matches. I know a lot of you out there do not like GM. I agree with you, Psycho. Sonya Deville is beautiful. She's beautiful. And the more you hear about her personally by people, she's a beautiful person outside the ring as well. So I know a lot of you out there are not thrilled about GM roles. But I think in this case with Sonya Deville, it reminds me of Paige a little bit. I mean, Paige couldn't wrestle anymore. They put her in that role. I honestly thought she did a decent job with it. So Sonya Deville being put in this role, she doesn't have to have any feuds right now. She could, you know, show a position of power. And I got news for you. For people out there who were big fans of hers that were also emotionally spent about what happened to her and very worried about her, now you get to see her back and you get to see her in a position of power. Not as a victim, not somebody who was burned, even in storyline, not someone who was let go. This is, she returned in a managerial, in an office role. And slowly, that could build with her getting back in the ring. Now, we don't know yet if she's just going to be SmackDown. It feels like she will be for SmackDown. But remember, this is something that I noticed nobody was writing about tonight online. Adam Pearce shows up on both shows. Adam Pearce is not just SmackDown. So Sonya Deville could very well show up on Raw. And then you got to see what dynamic they try to do with her and Mandy Rose. You know, does she let bygones be bygones in storyline? Does she put Mandy Rose in the bad situations? So we got to see where it goes. But for now, seeing Sonya Deville back in some capacity is a good thing. I have no problem with that whatsoever. None. Zero. Just a couple of things I want to just let you all know. As far as AEW and NXT ratings, we talked about the numbers yesterday. AEW did 662 this week. NXT did 641. And that's pretty awful. I know a lot of you out there are using the news excuse and everything like that. You know, NXT's rating went up compared to a week ago. All right, so don't say to me, you know, oh, well, you know, because of the news, like, what, only AEW fans were glued to the news? Seriously, AEW fans are pretty hardcore with AEW. There was no invading of the Capitol building at 8 o'clock Wednesday night. Yes, there were commentators, you know, talking about this, talking about that, talking about this. They didn't have Capitol Cam where people were just glued, you know. Is that a person trying to break? Oh, no, that's just a bug. You know, you didn't have Capital Cam on TV. AEW fans, I truthfully believe, would have rather have seen their product, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, you know, Inner Circle, that, than sit and watch Anderson Cooper. And if you're going to use that logic, explain to me how NXT's rating went up. Explain it. Explain it to me. So I don't have the quarter hour ratings for this past Wednesday because everything has been thrown disarray this week. We won't have the quarter hour ratings until tomorrow or Monday, probably Monday, tomorrow, Saturday. What am I saying? I'm still in weekday, you know, week mode, you know, not weekend. So Monday I'll have it, but I do have the quarter hour ratings from last week, the Brody Lee tribute show and the last NXT before New Year's Evil. And originally, I wasn't going to bring these quarter hour ratings up, but I found it very interesting to see the trend of the numbers as far as what went down. And if you remember what I've been saying about the inner circle, you remember what we talked about Wednesday, and we didn't know what the deal was with Timothy Thatcher. And a lot of you out there with me, a lot of you said it Wednesday as well. You said, it doesn't feel like Timothy Thatcher was injured. This might have just been a way that they just felt like, let's just leave this shit off of New Year's Evil. Because the quartile ratings for Timothy Thatcher have been disappointing, to say the least. And it didn't make sense in the storyline. William Regal, a minor injury. You know, it's just like, if he really got injured, just say what the fuck it was. You know, and it was just weird because when they showed this segment on social media, William Regal is wearing a mask and some woman is wearing a mask. But she wasn't a nurse because she didn't have a nurse outfit. She didn't have gloves on. She didn't have, you know, the garb that nurses wear or doctors wear. They just had masks on. And Timothy Thatcher didn't have a mask on. And he storms out. And then later on, William Regal has no mask on. And William Regal doesn't have a mask on with Timothy Thatcher the week before. It was just stupid. I don't know what the purpose was with that. But they just felt that the fight pit was just not, you know, worth squeezing in. So that's why instead we got the impromptu tag match of Kushida and Shotzi Blackheart versus The Way, Gargano and LeRae. And, you know, we got a little bit of filler in the process. That's why, you know, the Escobar, the Cruiserweight title match felt a little bit too long. Cross versus Priest was a decent match, but that may have gone 2 or 3 minutes too long. But I want to just give you very quickly, Mystery Man, we got to see what happens next week. And I tell you, AEW's card next week does not look all that spectacular. You know, especially, and we caught on that Wednesday night, they advertised the Elite in action next week before the Elite reformed at the end of the night. So there was some disarray in AEW. But like Moxley, we're not making this up, man. You all have been venting about it. I know we don't get hand jobs from people behind the scenes at AEW. I know a lot of people, you know, just act like the Donzilla Army doesn't exist, you and I. But we're on to it. They totally fucked up Moxley's AEW persona. And he cut the John Cena promo on Wednesday. I know I've said it twice this week. But yeah, he comes back and he cuts a promo like John Cena. Makes absolutely no sense. Moxley returns, didn't do nothing. Sting is there, didn't do nothing. They're hurting Team Taz. They're petrified of Sting whenever he shows up. And we're going to get into this Sports Illustrated list. You know what? Let's do that now. Because I actually am going to test something now, too. Only because I've been telling you all, I want to start incorporating screenshots, video capture, live feed, live chat on the screen when we do the shows in the future. So what I did, since last week we were able to do the fireworks live and we had no stream issues whatsoever, what I have right now is I actually have a screen on Twitter, and it's Sports Illustrated's tweet about their top 10 wrestlers of the year for 2020. And the reason why I have the Twitter feed in front of me is because I scrolled down the responses from the list, and I found those. Look, of course we got trolls. I talk about them for years. You know, trolls come in all shapes, sizes, pleasant speaking voices, you know, beautiful people, ugly people, people you don't even know what they look like. You know, it comes in all forms. So you expect trolls. But I found this feed pretty hilarious because the ones who are obsessed with Sasha Banks, and people are wondering, like, why am I name dropping Sasha Banks right now? Well, let's just throw this out there. That is Sports Illustrated's top 10 wrestlers of 2020. Now, I usually don't have too much of a problem with Justin Barrasso, which I know a lot of you really haven't heard of before. But Justin Barrasso writes articles for Sports Illustrated, doesn't just do wrestling, but this is a perfect example of someone, even Sports Illustrated, because they have that relationship with WWE, this is what you call a hand job. Was Sasha Banks one of the top wrestlers of 2020? Absolutely. No question. I have no problem with that. But to go and get the hand job for WWE, and because she's got a lot of TV exposure, especially with The Mandalorian and all this other shit, that this Matarazzo puts this list out, and you could see right away how he got himself in trouble. Because as soon as I saw that list, the first words out of my mouth is, where the fuck is Asuka? Where is Asuka? And you see what this Nimrod did. And I say this politely. I have nothing against him personally. Because he knew that there is some awesome talent in New Japan Pro Wrestling that he had to include the usual names. Ibushi, Naito. So you got to put him somewhere on the list. Oh, wait, but there's AEW, and AEW has been kicking ass. So we got to put AEW on there. So what do? We take the man who is in the middle of the Impact storylines, and we all remember it was only about a month and a half ago when people were saying, like, wow, Kenny Omega, 2020, he had some highlights here and there, but, you know, we want to see the cleaner. We want to see the man that became the number one pro wrestler of the year in the past. So this guy has got to put him in the top five. Then, because Eddie Kingston is great on the mic, and I have sung the love and praise for Eddie Kingston for 15 plus years. I am a huge fan of Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston was awesome in NWA, and he was awesome in the Indies. He was awesome in the Northeast, and I love his work in AEW. But ain't no fucking way you're going to say to me that Eddie Kingston is above Asuka and a bunch of other people on there. And I mean, come on. This guy tried to include everyone, and then this guy has the nerve to say on the list, well, you got to put WWE people like Drew McIntyre because they're like the Yankees, and the Yankees always get preferential treatment. You don't justify ignorant writing with more ignorant writing. So this guy comes up with this list. For audio-only people, Sasha Banks was ranked number one, period. Not just women, but period. Of 2020, Sports Illustrated put Sasha Banks number one. They put John Moxley number two, Drew McIntyre number three, Tetsuya Naito number four, Kenny Omega five, Bayley six, Io Shirai seven, Kota Ibushi eight, Roman Reigns nine, and Eddie Kingston 10. 10, 10, 10. And I'm not going to lie to you, man. I hate lists like this. I hate it. Because you know the relationship between WWE and Sports Illustrated, and because they don't want to reveal the hand jobs that they get, so they got to include wrestlers from other promotions to make them seem like they're fair and balanced. And honestly, Sasha Banks definitely deserves to be in the top 10. But like I said, you look at 2020, and you look at consistency and reliability. You look at, how many matches did Asuka have in 2020? 70? 74? How many matches did Eddie Kingston truthfully have in 2020? Yes, he's awesome on the mic. And you put him in the top 10? This was honestly like one of the worst lists that I've ever seen. Look, there are random wrestling websites out there that will come up with controversial lists just to get attention. They'll put somebody whack on that list just for attention. I love Tony Schiavone. I have been saying it since week one of Dynamite that I enjoy Schiavone on TV. I don't want him off my TV. But some website made these big awards, and they put Schiavone as the commentator of the year. you see what people do out there. That's why I hate covering lists like this. But when it gets that much exposure, and we're talking about Sports Illustrated, not some bullshit little magazine here, you know, it gives me gas. It gives me agita. So just to test out a little bit of a live feed, here is the Twitter feed. See, this is live right now. You see my mouse? See, look. Ooh. Tickle. Look, this is my feed. So this works nicely. I put chat rooms there next week. I could put other stuff next week. We could put, you know, whatever we want. But I scroll down this Twitter feed, and you got, let's look at some of the things that are said on, look at this Twitter feed. I mean, look, fake, this is not a sport, fake. And you ever see the obsessed fans of Sasha Banks? They don't say congratulations, Sasha Banks. They say congratulations, Mercedes Vernado, or whatever, and like the third junior, or, you know, daughter of Mrs. Vernado. Like, they got to get so personal to make it feel like a personal attachment. Those people are weird, man. Very, very creepy. Creepy. Vader's not on the list because Vader is deceased and he hasn't wrestled in ages. But look at this. I mean, I agree with some of the people here, but almost every post here is negative. And almost everyone, just scroll down this list and look at this list. It's almost all negative. Now, you have, like I said, huge supporters of Sasha Banks. Love it. But, you know, you see here, look here, congratulations, Mercedes. But all the other wrestlers, they use their wrestler names. I mean, it is all about 90% negative. Look at this. I could do this forever. But that's pretty much the feed. Ridiculous, man. Michael Gonzalez, you said, to be fair, Sasha Banks is the biggest name in wrestling right now. Michael, I'm not trying to argue with you. I respect everybody's opinion here. But I got to ask you one question. Don't super chat it, because I'm looking. I mean, just answer it like this. Says who? Because she was in The Mandalorian? You're telling me that Roman Reigns is not bigger right now? I mean, think about that for a minute. WWE gives the perception that Sasha Banks is this bigger than life epic person right now. And Sasha Banks, again, she deserves to be in the top 10. Sasha Banks is one of the top stars of WWE, period, male and female. But who says who that she's the biggest person around? That's an agenda by WWE. Seriously, you know? And they use the list to try to further the storyline with her and Carmella. So I'm just saying, you know, it's just, you look at a list like that and it got so much traction and I'm like, you know, that's a perfect example of what a hand job looks like. As far as journalist goes, that's what a journalistic hand job looks like. So anyway, so that is the list. I figured I'd share with everyone out there. You know, some of the names, look, if you're going to ask me what names I think do not belong in this top 10, I don't think Eddie Kingston should be in that top 10. I don't even know if Drew McIntyre should be in that top. If anything, I would put Drew McIntyre maybe number 9 or number 10. Drew McIntyre has been all reliable. Drew McIntyre, I think, has been doing a great job as our COVID champion. But if you tell me, hey, name me two awesome matches that Drew McIntyre put on in 2020. You know, there's been some very good matches, but nothing like four and a half, five-star matches. You know, Roman Reigns, you could even argue with that. Roman Reigns has not been back all that long. You know, so maybe you put Roman Reigns, okay, you put Roman Reigns, fine. But the idea that you're going to say to me that, you know, almost every person on this list belongs there before Asuka, you know, if you would have somehow put Asuka on this list then I would have been like, okay, you know, maybe it's not so bad after all. But you see why, and just look, Justin Barrasso will never say this, but I'm going to tell you, this is not opinion. For me, this is fact. That's the reason why Oscar is not on this list. Because if you put Oscar in the top 10, you have to put her at number one. So to avoid Sasha Banks being anything but number one, you leave Oscar off the list. That's exactly why Justin Barrasso did not put Oscar in the top 10. Because if you put her at number two or number three, four, five, six, eight, or nine, people will be like, you know, Sasha Banks has had an awesome year, but look at fucking Asuka and look at what she did and look at what Sasha Banks did. Sorry, it's a little bit short. Especially at Sasha Banks, you know, did a lot of tag team for most of the year. You know, I don't even think you could even, look, nobody argued when they chose Asuka as the female superstar of the year in everybody's opinions online. So that's the reason why Asuka is not on this list. Because if Darren Gordon Hill says Asuka can't talk, people freaking loved Asuka's promos and they didn't even understand what she was saying. Oh, by the way, screw you. People were asking earlier what shirt am I wearing, so that's what it is. It's a screw in the shape of you. Screw you. No, but seriously, you put Oscar in the top 10, and she's ranked below Sasha Banks. There's, you get all that bullshit online. So we leave her out of the top 10 entirely. This way, there's no debate. That list was garbage, in my opinion. So anyway, let's get into the quarter hour ratings very quickly. Then let's cover SmackDown, and we go to get out of here. Because we're running 52 minutes already, and I am going to jet out of here at 90 minutes. Before I do that, man, you're trying to get me in trouble, Pablo. You look, I don't like doing the goody-goody thing anymore, man, because some people took it the wrong way, you know? Because, you know, that's tough, man. I mean, you know, when Tony Khan used to get excited and he would go like this, you know, like in my neck of the woods, we knew this guy when he would get excited and he owned the bodega and he'd be like, goody, 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 goody. So, you know, I always used to say goody, goody, goody. So when Tony Khan was getting excited early on last year with Dynamite, I would come up here and go goody, goody, goody. And you know how 2020 is. Everybody gets triggered or offended, accusing like, oh, racist this and said, no malicious intent, you know, but that's why I haven't said it in a while. But yeah, you know, there's a lot of debate in the chat room right now about Asuka and Sasha Banks. And again, he wanted to avoid the Asuka, Sasha, who should be number one, who should be number two, who should be number one, who should be number two. So by leaving her off the top 10 entirely, it like eliminates that completely. But then you see a whole bunch of other people that no way should be on the, you know, and you don't put people on the list just to include all promotions. That makes you even more of a goof, in my opinion. So, you know, anyway, goody, goody, goody. That's for Pablo. AEW, last week, ratings, goody, goody, goody. Check out these numbers. What I found interesting about last week's ratings for both AEW and NXT, goody, 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 is you didn't see any huge dips up or down. Maybe one quarter hour. And if you know, it's usually within the first one or two quarters that it happens. So anyway, without further ado, let's just run these down very quickly. AEW last week, the Brody Lee tribute show. Hour number one, 996,000. Hour two, 963 for a composite of 979. The opening quarter of AEW, John Moxley's promo paying tribute to Brody Lee and the Young Bucks with Colt Cabana versus Matt Hardy and Private Party. That opened up with an impressive 1,057,000 viewers. Do you remember when I said last week that within the first quarter of 2021, we will have a quarter hour rating or two. That's 1.8, 1.9 million. And by summer, we will have 2 million plus in some quarter hour ratings. Look at last week. AEW's opening quarter was 1,057,000 viewers. The opening quarter for NXT, which was Isaiah Swerve Scott versus Bronson Reed and Shotzi Blackheart getting her award, that quarter hour was 666,000. Just a drop under 1.8 million. It was about over 1.7 million. So you could see that we're on the verge of 1.8 million, 1.9 million quarter hours if, you know, it's the storylines are solid and fans are getting into it. I'm telling you, you could see the trend for certain people in AEW. That is not good. That's why you don't hear Demo God anymore. So anyway, opening quarter for AEW, 1,057,000 viewers. The quarter two, which was the end of the tag match, Darby Allin's promo, in the very beginning of Lance Archer, Stu Grayson, and Evil Uno versus The Butcher, The Blade, and Eddie Kingston, that quarter hour dropped only 20,000 viewers to 1,037,000. Quarter three, which was the majority of that match, and referee Bryce's tribute to Brody Lee, that was the big drop. That dropped 84,000 viewers to 953. The fourth quarter hour, which was Adam Page, John Silver, and Alex Reynolds versus Santana Ortiz and MJF. Believe it or not, that match went down another 16,000 viewers to 937. So far, every quarter went down. Quarter five, the end of that tag match with Eric Redbeard making an appearance, and then, you know, the emotional, you know, tribute after it was over. Eddie Kingston's promo, Anna Jay and Ty Conti versus Penelope Ford and Britt Baker, that rating dropped only 3,000 viewers to 934. The remainder of that tag match, Britt Baker's interview saying that everything was rigged, you know, as a tribute to Big Rig. Next week's Dynamite preview and Chris Jericho's tribute to Brody Lee, that rating dropped another 6,000 viewers to 928. Quarter seven, which was the main event, Cody Rhodes, Orange Cassidy, and 10 versus Team Taz, that rating increased 58,000 viewers to 986. And then the final moments of that match, Sting's appearance, and then the closing tribute to Brody Lee, Tony Khan in the ring, Cody Rhodes, John Huber's family, that rating went over a million again. 1,005,000 viewers for an increase of 13,000. So if you look throughout the night, only one quarter did we have any substantial ratings drop, but for the most part, it was very consistent. But as the night went on, the numbers would just go down until the very end. So if we use 979 as the average, this is what the quarters look like. 1,057,000. 1,037, 953, 937, 934, 928, 986, 1,005,000. So steady decline until the last 20 minutes of the show. NXT leading into New Year's Evil, not very good. I mean, we all wanted to pay tribute to Brody Lee, but, you know, you also, you know, there's some big things going on in NXT leading up to New Year's Evil. So here we go. NXT, hour one, 603,000 viewers. Hour two, 569 for a composite of 586. Opening quarter of Isaiah Swerve Scott versus Bronson Reed and Shotzi Blackheart winning her award. That opening quarter was 666,000 viewers. Tyler Breeze and Fandango versus the Grizzled Young Veterans and the announcement of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, that rating dropped all the way down to 573, a drop of 93,000 viewers. The third quarter, which was the announcement of the Undisputed Era as the Tag Team of the Year, Xia Li's vignette hyping up her return that took place this week, Mercedes Martinez versus Veronica Feroz, Io Shirai announced as the female competitor of the year, and Adam Cole announced as the male superstar of the year. That all happened in quarter three. That rating increased slightly, 24,000 viewers to 597. This was rather surprising for me, especially because AEW's quarter four also went down in viewers. But quarter four for NXT, which was Roderick Strong versus Pete Dunne, which I thought was a phenomenal match and I really was looking forward to more than anything, that match dropped 26,000 viewers to 571. The final moments of that match, the announcement of Finn Balor versus Kyle O'Reilly as match of the year, Timothy Thatcher and Tommaso Ciampa's promo to hype up their match for New Year's Evil, that dropped another 13,000 viewers to 558. The in-ring promo exchange between Kyle O'Reilly and Finn Balor, which led to Karrion Kross and Damian Priest brawling on the rampway, that rating increased 47,000 viewers to 605. Santos Escobar and El Legado del Fantasma in the ring talking about how great their 2020 was. They were interrupted by Lucha House Party, and then they ended up having the impromptu match. That rating went down 34,000 viewers to 571. And then the final quarter, which was Io Shirai being announced as the overall superstar of the year for NXT, the Waze promo, and then the match between Johnny Gargano and Leon Ruff, that dropped 32,000 viewers to 539. So not a good night. I know what you're going to say to me. Well, you know, it was a Brody Lee tribute show. I get that. But as you look at the numbers, nothing was, you know, everything underwhelmed for NXT. So we use 586 as the average. Here we go. And who would have ever thought that Bronson Reed, and this could be the carryover, like I said, that a lot of people have their TV on a particular channel and they're in another room, they fall asleep, they're taking a dump, they're taking a shower, they're outside, they're cooking, they're cleaning, they're doing other things, and then pro wrestling comes on. And they're like, oh shit, I don't watch wrestling, and then they turn it off. Bronson Reed versus Isaiah Swerve Scott was the highest rated quarter of the night. Does anybody buy that? Think about that. So anyway, here we go. Average is 586. We got 666, 573, 597, 571, 558, 605, 571, 539. Not very good. Not very good. So how's everybody doing tonight? Just to get off topic for a moment or two. Shout out to John Flores, Anthony JCP, Ken Terminated by DQ, Lone Wolf, Darren Gordon Hill, Who's Dad, Sam I Am, and everyone else that is tuning in live. Papo. So, very quickly, since we're talking about NXT, we now have all the teams for the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. Maybe they still add teams. And by the way, for people who have asked, yes, they are doing a female Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. That's why Ember Moon was writing what she was writing on social media the last couple of days. By the way, you remember what I said Wednesday about what they got to do with Xia Li now? Look at what they've done to Ember Moon. I mean, she rode the bike 500 miles an hour, did this whole Mad Max, whatever it was, and what has that got her? You know, this is going to turn into like a Dana Brooke situation with talent, you know, because Ember Moon could kick ass in the ring. And you keep putting her in a position, it's my time. What would Mama want some gold, baby? Mama wants a little gold, baby. Remember? Baby turned into maybe. Sorry for annoying people, because some people are like, oh no, not that. Mama wants a little gold, baby. Mama wants a little gold, maybe. Maybe. Doubtful. WWE's, look what they did to Ember Moon. I know she had a couple little bumps and bruises from War Games, but still. There's like no momentum whatsoever. She's got to get back on the fucking bike and go 500 miles an hour again, you know? Maybe she does a wheelie this time. You know, they show her at night. Let her... like, do a wheelie. Impress me. Impress me. What's good, everybody? Yeah, Benjamin, I will stop. By the way, congrats, Ben. I did get your address. I'm going to post it all over social media now so everybody can send you, like, all, like, negative things and everything. No, seriously, I don't do that. He won one of the contests from 2 weeks ago. So your money will go out on Monday. And Woo, Space Mountain Woo, I think he contacted me as well. I haven't had a chance to look at his message yet. But Tessa Blanchard debuting it. Look at Bo Dallas, man. Look at Bo Dallas. Did you see how much anticipation there was for Bo Dallas possibly being the mystery person on the bike? You remember we thought two people, Tessa Blanchard or Bo Dallas. And then the rumors were Ember Moon also. So those were the three we focused on. You would think that WWE Creative would have taken notice of all the buzz. Like, well, people really want to see Bo Dallas back. Well, I guess we do have to believe. And they did nothing. They did nothing. Absolutely nothing. And the Jay White stuff. We talked about it yesterday with Jay White. You know, you let the rumors begin. Because Finn Balor said that to Jay White, I think it was yesterday. You know, I love all the people on social media now that suddenly are Jay White fans. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's times like this that I wish I took calls or I had co-hosts because I would just turn around and just corner someone who suddenly can't get Jay White out of their mouth, and I would say, who's your favorite match with Jay White? Oh, you know that New Japan match. There's so many people on social media talking about Jay White. They never fucking saw a goddamn thing what Jay White ever did. I personally, like I said yesterday, I think Jay White would be a perfect fit right now for Ring of Honor to replace Marty Skrull. Marty Skrull, the one with the 15-year-old girl. I think Jay White could be a cornerstone in Ring of Honor. Yes, I would love to see him versus Adam Cole. Yes, I would love to see him versus Finn Balor. Yes, I'd love to see him versus Kyle O'Reilly. Yes, I'd love to see him against Roderick Strong. Yes, I'd love to see him against Nakamura. Yes, I'd love to see him against Daniel Bryan. Yes, I would love to see him against AJ Styles. I could keep going. The problem is WWE is not going to put him on TV and then have Michael Cole, what? Jay White is here? Or whatever they call him, Jay Black? Jay Ringamajig? Whatever they change his name to? They're not going to act like this was like an unbelievable person that everybody knew from another company. They're going to bring him in and totally change his persona. And the only people that are going to make a big deal about it are the diehards, the people that really were into New Japan Pro Wrestling. So I don't know how WWE would utilize him. All those people would have unbelievable matches with Jay White. But you got to think of WWE's wise. Do you think, seriously, you think Vince McMahon, Jay White comes in, Mr. McMahon, nice to meet you, blah, 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 blah. And then Vince is looking at some of his work, or maybe they're looking at his resume right now. They're looking at tapes. They're hanging out. You think somebody pitches Bruce Pritchard or somebody pitches to Vince, you know, he would be phenomenal against AJ Styles. You know, he would just tear the roof off the building with Finn Balor. You think Vince McMahon would sit there and look at Jay White matches and say, that's such good shit. I don't see it. AEW, they can't even have consistent storylines a lot. You start a feud. Look what they did with Moxley, man. I can't get off of that because of how much damage they caused. They hyped it up for 2 weeks. John Moxley returns. Oh, I can't wait for that quarter hour rating. I can't wait. The John Cena promo. You know, I'm not going to cry over spilled milk. You got to dust, you fall down, you got to dust yourself off. You got to grind your teeth. You got to do this, you got to do that. He should have just said, Kenny, you want some? Come get some. So bad, man. So bad. So anyway, here's the tag teams for the Dusty Rhodes Classic. Not going to lie, I'm not feeling this. Seriously, I'm not feeling this. Undisputed Era, Adam Cole and Roderick Strong, I'm fine with that. Ever-Rise, I want to break this light, you know, over my head. Seriously. Ever-Rise, seriously? You want to give me a rise? Ever-Rise, got to be fucking kidding me. Kurt Stallion and August Gray. Future stars. Right now, remember yesterday with my I don't give a shit meter? A lot of fans, they're not on that level yet. If they do the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic and NXT fans see that Kurt Stallion and August Gray wins the whole thing, out of every, like, 1,000 people, you might have someone in the over 50 demographic that's going to be like, yeah, the right team won, yeah. Killian Dane versus Drake Maverick. So they could lose and they could beat up each other. Imperium, Marcel Barthel and Fabian Aichner. No momentum whatsoever. Grizzled Young Veterans. I put them in the same category as the Forgotten Sons of Bitches. Legado del Fantasma. They just lost to the Lucha House Party. Johnny Gargano and Austin Theory. That's my pick to win it. Isaiah Swerve Scott and Jake Atlas. Should I fart live on camera now? Kushida and Leon Ruff. No! And the Bollywood Boys. Oh, the Bollywood Boys are fighting on 205 Live. Oh, they. What are the chances of them winning now to try to make it seem like, you know, they may actually have a shot in the Dusty Rhodes Classic? Goody, goody. What a horrible Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. I know it's sacrilegious because it's Dusty Rhodes, but come on, man. This is not impressive at all. I mean, the women's side, now, I don't know if you saw the preview for today's show. Look in the upper right-hand corner. It is a lot of buzz behind the scenes that Rhea Ripley is on her way to Raw, and you will probably see the confrontation with her and Charlotte. Me personally, the Royal Rumble is 3 weeks away. If Rhea Ripley is now bound for Raw, this is how I would do it. I would do it one of two ways. I would either have Charlotte do a backstage promo since she's already announced that she's going to be in the Royal Rumble, and she is met by Rhea Ripley. And Charlotte maybe asks, like, what are you doing here? And Rhea Ripley reveals that she has entered the Royal Rumble. We don't have to think that she's a Raw star yet, but all we need to know right now is that she is entered in the Royal Rumble. Wow, that flashlight kind of hurt. But that's how you start it. I would not have Rhea Ripley, you know, like, come to Raw on Monday and surprise Charlotte, because you know this Charlotte and Rhea Ripley has unfinished business. So that's probably going to happen. And I'll tell you, if Rhea Ripley wins that Royal Rumble, I would be perfectly fine with it. 2020 was not a very good year for Rhea Ripley. Remember what I said 2 weeks ago. Even though she had a lackluster 2020, Rhea Ripley is giving me the same vibes that I got with Charlotte when Charlotte was in NXT. Not the recent run, but before she came to the main roster. Rhea Ripley is the next big female superstar to come out of NXT. She is going, I don't know if she'll be on the level of Charlotte, but she is going to be on the level of Sasha, Bailey, maybe one drop below Charlotte, and I see them two battling at WrestleMania again in the next couple of years. So I'm telling you, I would, and you know what? Rhea Ripley just got, you know, just got over a huge brawl with Raquel Gonzalez at New Year's Evil. There's no reason why Rhea Ripley needs to show up on television Monday. If you want to do it, fine. You just have her surprise Charlotte. She announces she's in the Royal Rumble, and she leaves. You want to do a warm-up match a week from now, 2 weeks from now, to remind everyone what Rhea Ripley could do for the main roster? Because remember, not all WWE fans watch NXT. So I'm fine with that. Something else I wanted to say. How you like all those people that were saying that Damian Priest was going to show up tonight and feud with Roman Reigns? Say it long enough and it'll happen. I got news for you. I think Damian Priest might be better suited for Raw. I think so. I think Damian Priest has more people that he could fuck with on Raw than SmackDown. I don't know if I want to see Damian Priest on SmackDown. You know, I saw the report. Meltzer reported this. That Daniel Bryan, who is helping with creative on SmackDown, Daniel Bryan was pushing for some NXT talent to appear on SmackDown. And this is where a lot of the Damian Priest rumors were coming from. Daniel Bryan had pitched possibly a storyline where Damian Priest came in to basically confront Roman Reigns for what he did to Kevin Owens. And WWE or Vince or management didn't like the idea. But, you know, so when you saw these people, oh, our sources tell us that Damian Priest is on his way to SmackDown. No, they just found out from Meltzer's newsletter that Daniel Bryan pitched an idea. That's where they got it from. Ain't no fucking sources. Reading doesn't give you a source. Just shows you could read. Yes, I could see Damian Priest and Bobby Lashley. I could see him versus Drew McIntyre. I could see him against, you know, a lot of the big men on the Raw roster. I kind of think Damian Priest would be better suited on Raw. I'd like to see him against Riddle. Go at it a little bit more. So, yeah, so fly. You know, the Raw, put it this way. If somebody's going to come to the rescue for Kevin Owens, I don't think if you came out with 10 people from NXT, Damian Priest, I don't even think would be on that list. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, Damian Priest suddenly cares. It just, it's I don't know. It's just a little odd. It's odd. To tell you the truth, I would have rather seen Adam Pearce get in Roman Reigns' face for what he did to Kevin Owens last week. You know, Adam Pearce could get in Roman Reigns' face, but Adam Pearce, you know what I would have done? And we could segue to SmackDown now. You know what I would have done? When they had SmackDown open up tonight with Roman Reigns in the ring with Jey Uso and Paul Heyman, and Roman Reigns is praising Kevin Owens. He's like a cockroach that just won't go away, but he respects someone who keeps getting up. You know, that was the storyline all along. Then he focuses on Adam Pearce. They showed a footage of the beatdown last week, and they want Adam Pearce to come out there. And as I said earlier, Adam Pearce enters the ring like a dog that went through your garbage. And what I would have liked is I would have liked Adam Pearce to get in Roman Reigns' face and basically say that, because remember, last week Kevin Owens talked about his history with Adam Pearce. My God, it's the perfect storyline. It fits perfect. We just, if you didn't know about Kevin Owens and Adam Pearce's history, you knew it last week. So it would have made sense for Adam Pearce to get in Roman Reigns' face and say, if I wasn't management, if I wasn't retired, that I would kick your ass myself. And then have Roman Reigns, you have that look on his face like, ooh, look at this guy. You know, I admire that. It's that. And then you have Paul Heyman tell Adam Pearce later on, hey, you want to get in the ring, you know, and you want to do something to Roman Reigns? Well, you know what? I pulled a couple of strings and you might get that opportunity because tonight you're in the gauntlet. And this way, Adam Pearce, it's a sign of like anger, sticking up for your friend, strength, your fucking management. You throw your authority around. Remember Randy Orton with all the claymores in the back? Remember Drew McIntyre? My light's going to fall again. Remember that bad light? Oh, man, that light keeps falling. I got to move it. I got it over here. It's okay. It's It's all right. I'm sure you could see it with my hands, but, and it gets hot too. But, you know, remember Drew with the two claymores? No, no, it was Randy Orton with two missed punts, I think, and then he connected on the third one. You remember Adam Pearce pushing his authority around? That's what we should have saw. Him getting in Roman Reigns' face, and maybe Adam Pearce regrets it later, but he was fighting for his friend. It would have been perfect. But instead, Adam Pearce comes in like a puppy dog, reluctant. Roman Reigns, it's my show. It's my show. It's my show. And if I was Vince in storyline and my management is bowing down to Roman Reigns, you're fired. I didn't like it. I did not like it. Because once Paul Heyman revealed that Adam Pearce was going to be in this gauntlet match tonight, because the gauntlet match tonight was supposed to be Shinsuke versus Sami Zayn versus Baron Corbin versus Daniel Bryan versus Rey Mysterio. The winner of that match takes on Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble. Now, yes, it would have been a match just to buy time until the Royal Rumble pay-per-view happens and we find out who the next opponent is for Roman Reigns for WrestleMania. That's what it is. And the minute they announced that Adam Pearce was going to be in this match, I guarantee almost all of you out there predicted the end of SmackDown tonight. Adam Pearce is the last person to come out. You know, if you really wanted to torment Adam Pearce, Paul Heyman should have pulled an extra string and Adam Pearce should have been first in the gauntlet. But in storyline, they wanted Adam Pearce to win so Roman Reigns could beat the shit out of him at the Royal Rumble. That's the storyline. So, but you all saw that. You know, the gauntlet match happens. Adam Pearce comes at the very end. Roman Reigns makes sure that Adam Pearce wins and Adam Pearce versus Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble. That pretty much summed it up. One thing you can say about SmackDown that I think is an overall credit, because for me, right now, Wednesday nights is my favorite night of wrestling of the week. Fridays is my second favorite. Mondays is my third. Tuesdays, it's a hard sell because Impact Wrestling, you know, misses the target a lot of times. So, you know, I want to enjoy, you know, wrestling as much as possible. So if you want me to really give some credit for Fridays and SmackDown, I don't know if you notice it, but the storylines on SmackDown right now are much simpler. They're much simpler. Yeah, the Mysterio, you know, storyline with Aaliyah and Murphy, that's been put on the back burner because WWE, it seems like they want to hold off Seth Rollins until the Royal Rumble or maybe right before the Royal Rumble. That storyline has really gone nowhere now. But most of the storylines on SmackDown are rather simple. If you think about it, they're pretty simple. You don't have to overthink it. It is pretty amazing when you look at SmackDown storylines as a whole. You look at Raw storylines as a whole, and Raw is so fucking complex at times and all out there. And just like, it just feels like throwing shit on the wall and hope it sticks. My God. Especially this Ali Ricochet stuff has got to come to an end. My God. So anyway, the gauntlet match took up the whole 30 minutes, the final 30 minutes of the show. The reason why I say that is because SmackDown is only 2 hours, not three. So the gauntlet took up one quarter of the show. Roman Reigns' intro with Jey Uso, Paul Heyman, and Adam Pearce also took about 20 minutes of the show. Those two segments took up almost half of the show. So when we don't have to cover SmackDown for hours and hours and hours, you understand why. Now, what I did like at the beginning was Jey Uso fuming in the back. Jey Uso behind Adam Pearce at the beginning of the show was angry because Adam Pearce booked the match last week. So in the end, obviously, Jey Uso would get a little revenge on that, but I don't think we're going to see Adam Pearce versus Jey Uso in a match. I don't know if we're going to see that. It'd be interesting if they did that to try to, like, really, you know, torment Adam Pearce going into the Royal Rumble. But we get Big E versus Apollo Crews, and basically we had to go to a commercial break. So instead of just having a match in progress and going to commercial break, they tried to have a little controversy. What happened was they were in the ring brawling for a little bit, and basically what happened was Apollo Crews hit a superplex. They both landed on the mat, and basically it was a double pin. They didn't show replays, you know, like slow-mos and other camera angles, so you know that, you know, there was something about it that maybe just didn't look all that spectacular on different camera angles. But they basically did the double pin. We go to commercial. We come back from commercial, and the referee says that both shoulders were on the mat. Double pin, it's a draw. Apollo Crews don't want to go out like that. Apollo Crews gets pissed off, slaps Big E in the face. We get a rematch. Match, not very long, but competitive nonetheless. But Big E ultimately with the big ending for the win. And, you know, maybe a little signs of respect afterwards. You know, I don't think Apollo Crews is turning full-blown heel, for anybody that's thinking that. I don't think that's needed. But, you know, not bad. I really couldn't complain, but we all knew there was no way Big E was losing that belt. However, we had Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode take on the Street Profits. And I got to give a lot of you credit, because last week when they announced that match, a lot of you in the chat room said Roode and Ziggler are going to win it next week. The Dirty Dogs. I want to get that shirt. I think I am going to get that shirt, the Dirty Dogs. I like it. I kind of like that shirt. So we get this match, and I was a little confused with this match, and I'll tell you why. The whole storyline of this match was that Montez Ford had a leg injury. And I agree with you, Austin Nance. Roman Reigns is killing it in his character. He's doing a phenomenal job. It's just what is being put around him. It just feels like a lot of smoke and mirrors to get to whoever's going to fight him at WrestleMania. That's what it feels like. Because, man, you look at his reign, and the Kevin Owens stuff was very good. I don't think anybody's complained. The Jey Uso matches were very good. But you look at it, and that's pretty much all you have. That's pretty much all you have. You get a couple of people sprinkled in a little bit here, a little bit there, but it really, it's not as, you know, you look at Drew McIntyre's reign, and his resume is a lot longer, and yes, maybe the storylines weren't as strong, and Drew McIntyre obviously is not in the category of Roman Reigns. The WWE has put that in storyline already, but you know, you look at Roman, it's a very small group of people that are around him in the storyline. So anyway, so the Street Profits during the match, they're pretty much selling that Montez Ford has a leg injury. But then later in the match, he goes for the hot tag and he's running roughshod everywhere. And yes, in the end, they still played off that he had a leg injury. And, you know, you had Ziggler and Roode, you know, get the upper hand, and they hit the spine buster and the zigzag. But, you know, if I was Angelo Dawkins in storyline with that match, I'd be a little bit pissed off because he's trying to go for the tag and Montez Ford is selling this leg injury, but then gets the hot tag and this guy's like moving around like, yeah, I mean, I know in storyline it's adrenaline, but, you know, Montez Ford was poisoned by Zelina Vega. And he would not stop. Remember the referee? No, you got to stop. You got to stop. No, no, no. But a leg injury, he's got to do the Kalisto or what was it, Sin Cara outside the ring. No, no, no. Boo-boo. Boo-boo on my leg. Cannot wrestle. Big boo-boo. Oh, I didn't like this match all that much, but I'm fine with Ziggler and Roode getting the belts. It almost feels like this tag title change happened to set up a rematch for the Royal Rumble. You know? People are not thrilled in the chat room right now of Ziggler and Roode being tag champs. So, and other than that, we have the gauntlet match. One other segment. We had the Riot Squad in the back, and Billie Kay thinking that she could be like a manager or their coach or whatever, and the Riot Squad are like politely telling her no. and she's doing this fake cry about 2021 was supposed to be better than 2020 and blah, blah, blah. Riot Squad feel bad. And they kind of have second thoughts. And Billy Kay suddenly say, oh, okay, okay. I'm not feeling it, man. I don't like it. It just shows you they have next to nothing for Billy Kay. They have next to nothing. So, yeah, again, I have no problem of Ziggler and Rude being tag champs. I like seeing gold around Robert Roode's waist, to be honest with you. I just fear that their title reign will only last a month at tops. I almost make bets with people out there that the title reign doesn't last a month. So the gauntlet match, basically, this is how it went down in order. Rey Mysterio comes out first. A lot of people thought Rey Mysterio was winning this. You see Rey Mysterio come out first, and it's only 9:30 at night. You're saying to yourself, there ain't no way Rey Mysterio's wrestling 30 minutes. So Sami Zayn comes out next, and Sami Zayn is complaining, conspiracy theory. Well, guess what? Rey Mysterio beats him in about a minute, not even. So Sami Zayn's out of there, and then we get Shinsuke and Rey Mysterio. And that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. I would have loved to have seen more. But in the end, Shinsuke gets Mysterio the tap out with the armbar, and Shinsuke advances. King Corbin comes out there, attacks Dominic, starts beating up on Nakamura. But in the end, Nakamura hits the Kinshasa on King Corbin for the win. So we're down to Daniel Bryan and Nakamura. And honestly, these two guys were basically the gauntlet match. They had an extended match against each other. You know Daniel Bryan and Nakamura's history against each other. They are beautiful in the ring. It's like a work of art. But in the end, Shinsuke actually beats Daniel Bryan. I think a lot of people were surprised, but we all kind of figured Adam Pearce would get in the main event. And I know we're a couple of minutes over, but remember, we have intro music and I say hello, so technically we're about 90 minutes right now. I'm just about done. No worries, no worries. But so Shinsuke has the match with Daniel Bryan, and a sign of respect. And I liked it. I liked it. You know, no controversy. You know, Shinsuke with no swerve on Daniel Bryan, no swerve by Daniel Bryan back, sign of respect. And now Shinsuke is supposed to take on Adam Pearce. Roman Reigns' music hits. Roman Reigns comes out to ringside. Jey Uso is at ringside. And now you have Scrap Daddy, Adam Pearce. He's got like a sweatshirt with the WWE logo on it. You don't see, you know, anything as far as his upper body. Is, you know, is built right now. And he's dressed, you know, not in ring gear because obviously he wasn't planning on wrestling. And if you remember early in the night when he was talking to Sonya Deville and he did another interview backstage, they brought up two or three times teasing that, you know, I haven't wrestled. So it almost felt like they were forcing that narrative a couple of times. So when Paul Heyman says, you're going to wrestle, it was supposed to feel like, no, I'm not a wrestler anymore. So anyway, Roman Reigns comes out, Jey Uso, Paul Heyman, Adam Pearce comes out. And Roman Reigns is telling Adam Pearce, you know, like, go, go. Roman Reigns forces Adam Pearce, you know, like throws him in the ring. And Nakamura gets the Superman punch from Roman Reigns. So Nakamura is knocked out. So really all Adam Pearce has to do is just pin Nakamura. But Adam Pearce being a little bit reluctant, you know, he doesn't want to be there, blah, 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 blah. Jey Uso super kicks him, knocks him on his ass. Adam Pearce, to his credit, does not take a regular wrestling bump. He took a bump as if it was somebody in management that doesn't wrestle. The problem is, when he gets in the ring with Roman Reigns, we're going to see, and for people that don't know anything about Adam Pearce, they're going to see right away that the guy could, you know, could actually go. Yeah, I'm just an office boy. At least he's not a young boy like next week, you know, with Miro, young boy. Wow. That's just going to fall flat, in my opinion. But anyway, so Jey Uso knocks out Adam Pearce. They put him over Nakamura. Adam Pearce gets the win. It will be Adam Pearce versus Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble. And we pretty much know what's going to happen there. The only question is, will Kevin Owens show? Will Kevin Owens turn? I don't know. I'm not trying to hint anything. I don't know how they're going to keep this. I don't know if other people in the back are going to try to come to the aid of Adam Pearce. I don't know how they're going to do this. All I know is they got a couple of weeks to try to make the casual WWE fans that have no emotion. This is the most important thing. They have no emotional attachment to Adam Pearce. So they could care less if Adam Pearce wins, loses, draws, gets his ass kicked. A lot of people just don't care. And that's how we go off the air. That's how it was. Overall, you know, for the payoff, if you look at it, Big E and Apollo Crews, I think, pretty much was what we thought it would be. But you ended the night with the Dirty Dogs being the tag champs. You ended the night with a gauntlet match with Adam Pearce getting the win. And that's pretty much what we got. I mean, it really did not advance much in the storyline department. We had a backstage segment with Bayley and Bianca Belair. Bianca Belair enters the Royal Rumble. Bayley like startles her from behind, you know, trying to keep that little bit of friction between the two of them. Right after they announced Sasha Banks being Sports Illustrated's Wrestler of the Year overall, they had a backstage segment with Carmella drinking champagne with Reginald there as well, you know, using the, you know, Wrestler of the Year thing to basically further the storyline with Sasha and Carmella. You could see that those two are still going to go at it one more time at least. And but it did not feel like it furthered that storyline at all. It did not feel like all, it felt like all SmackDown did tonight was create buy time. Like Roman Reigns is not facing Adam Pearce at the Royal Rumble. Roman Reigns is facing time. He is going to face, and he bought time. That's basically what it is. He got, you know, another pay-per-view under his belt with no real feud or storyline brewing right now. This was to add not only another month to Roman Reigns' title reign, but to basically get him. Because you remember last week, we talked about it. Like, there was two ways. Remember we were talking about there's two ways it could have gone with Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens goes back, shows up again tonight, and it leads to one more match at the Royal Rumble. Or they write off Kevin Owens as injured, and they do something else to lead into the Royal Rumble. Well, they did something else, and it's Adam Pearce. Not feeling it, but hey, they got a couple of weeks to make us want to see it. And again, Adam Pearce, if you don't know anything about his in-ring work or if you've never seen him wrestle, go check out his work and look at his resume. Again, not everybody can have the bright lights and, you know, legendary status. You know, not everybody could be, you know, the top dog of a wrestling company. Adam Pearce has fought the best that's been in the business, and Adam Pearce was looked at as one of the top indie wrestlers, you know, 10 years ago. So he can hold his own. The big question is, how much is WWE going to allow him to do against Roman Reigns? So anyway, with that said, everyone, I am going to jet out of here. I'm glad that we're getting this done in an hour and 35 minutes or so. So pretty much what I wanted to do tonight. It was an interesting week. I mean, if you think about it, we did a show last Wednesday. We did one New Year's Eve. We did one New Year's Day. We did one Monday. I did Patreon Tuesday, Wednesday Night Dynamite. Yesterday was the Q&A, which worked out beautifully. So that will return this Thursday. And it's only going to get bigger and better. Because, like I said, we talked about so many different topics yesterday, not just wrestling, and I loved it. And no matter what the topic was, there was some awesome discussion, and it was just nice back and forth. And yeah, I definitely want to build on that. And I thank you all for stopping by. So everyone, before you go, if you enjoyed tonight's show, I'd appreciate it if you smash that like button, give it a thumbs up. Because I was able to get that little Twitter thing on the screen before, I'm going to start messing around with some templates to put like the YouTube chat on the screen once in a while so everybody could see their posts on the thing. I'm going to start putting in some live feeds, and that will also give us the opportunity to start taking calls, because there is a different OBS program that I'm going to start using and have two running at the same time. So this way, when we have people calling in, your name will pop up, and you know, we'll make it look all nice. And good thing is, I got Mish working with me on this, and you know Mish, how uber talented he is and how dedicated he is to make things work. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm definitely looking forward to it. So, all right, everyone. Have a great weekend. Much love as always. And I'll catch you all Monday for Breakfast Soup Raw. So everyone, much love. Thank you for the support. Be safe. Try not to get so, you know, bogged down with not only COVID, but all the turmoil going on. It's terrible. It's terrible. Something tells me next week, one of the topics of discussion will be the Twitter accounts that were banned today by politicians, some journalists, some celebrities. There's a lot of crap going down. So we have some interesting stuff to talk about next week. Tom Nelson, as far as you wanted me to talk about Nielsen boxes and what Nielsen is, I'm going to get into that on Wednesday with the quarter hour ratings, because he wants to understand a little bit how the Nielsen boxes work and how we get, you know, ratings the way they are. And it's not simple cut and dry. You know, I'll give a little bit of an education. In fact, you know what? I'll do it Monday with Mish, because Mish knows a shitload about Nielsen as well. So he and I together will have a nice little 5-minute segment talking about Nielsen and how they come up with the ratings that we get on TV. Because a lot has changed with Nielsen in the last couple of years as well. When you start factoring in streaming media and Netflix and Hulu and how they get ratings that way. And even with demos, a lot of people don't understand when you hear like 0.2, like, oh, AEW scored a 0.2 in the, you know, demo for 18 to 25. They don't understand like how many viewers does that come. There is a formula. So I will get into that on Monday. We'll have a little conversation. But yeah, Sleep Wolf, I agree with you. This is January 8th, and already 2021 is off to a wild start. And unfortunately, I don't think it's going to get much better in the next couple of weeks. There's been shit building for years and years and years for many different reasons. It's not just one side or the other, and a lot of it is at a boiling point. And that's why you see some of the crazy shit we saw Wednesday at the Capitol building. You're going to see other crazy shit going down. I am very fearful of some of the things that will happen, and that's why we need to get COVID squared away as quickly as possible. Because the next step is you're going to have restaurants, towns, law enforcement, communities just basically saying this to their local governments, and they're going to open. They're going to do whatever they want to do. And if anybody tries to shut them down, people are not going to lose their livelihood and their house and their cars and their kids' education and healthcare and all this other stuff because, you know, people think that you can't be responsible during COVID and take safety precautions. So there's going to be a lot of stuff. And you know what? If these shows, you know, it's weird because somebody said to me yesterday, if anybody knows the Frank and Gus shows that Mish did and Joey Numbers did on Wrestling Soup, you know, for about, I don't know, 2 or 3 months, they did a show every single day in the afternoon. It was Frank and Gus. That's what they called it. I think they still do it too, but they did a show every day of the week, not long, but enough so people would just have a little bit of escape from all the crap that was going on in this world. And I got such a kind compliment yesterday from someone who I do appreciate and said, you know, like these shows now are starting to be like the 12-inch version of Frank and Gus episodes that, look, if I could come up here every day and not be boring, I would do it. But as you could hear, you know, like I start losing my voice because I talk all day long at the office. And then, you know, I got my family to spend time with as well. So, but look, if we could do 5 days a week and start cutting these down a little bit in length, I'm all for it, man. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But everyone, be well. Enjoy the weekend. I will see you all again on Monday for Breakfast Soup Raw, and we'll see what happens with this storyline with Goldberg and Drew McIntyre. I certainly did not want to see Randy Orton and Drew have another match, especially with everything that went down in 2020 with them. So, all right, everybody, much love. Again, if you enjoyed the show, hit the like button. If you didn't enjoy the show, hit the thumbs down. You know, leave a comment what you thought about SmackDown, anything that I talked about tonight, that top 10 list, you know, how you felt about it. You know, nobody has a wrong answer. You can always disagree. I don't bite, if you notice. That's what we're here for. Have some nice discussion, and I would not want everybody to always agree with what I say. So, all right, everybody, good night. Have a nice weekend. I see you Monday for Breakfast Soup Raw. Ciao.